What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Chris DeSellums, and with me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
What's up? Good to be back. This is the Great Ones episode, episode 99.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Only God bless. From triple digits? Wow.
Yeah, it's, well, I guess, when does the NHL season end? I think we're just going to miss it.
Like 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
Like the last games, yeah, the last couple of games are the week of like the 10th. Because the only reason I know that is because I'm on my team retreat that week.
of course,
and I'll be in Charleston, South Carolina.
Great place. I'm going to Colorado. You're going to Charleston. We're just on the move, you know. Not going to podcast next week. I literally fly out to Colorado, and you're the 10th. Okay, so we get that 1 week in between.
Yeah, I get that week in between. So. Right before the end.
Yeah, and then we'll be back for a playoff episode. And hopefully, looks like transition all off the bat. Looks like both teams might be in it. Rangers are hot. We kind of knew they'd be in it. Islanders are hot. We'll get to them later. But
yeah, I was going to say, I think the Rangers have been in it for like a month at this point.
Okay, well, development on our other friends. But I see the Rangers have been playing quite well recently. And finally giving the Islanders some much-needed victories on your behalf. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finally happy that the boys were able to come through.
You apologized to me like three times within like 2 weeks. Be like, sorry, man, couldn't beat the team that's ahead of you. Like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, I know they got games in hand, but they got us tonight.
all right, so what
before we jump in, yes, came in late. I don't even think he's playing this season. But Brian Boyle officially retired today.
Hard to believe he wasn't retired already.
you could have told me he was retired at the beginning of the season. I said, yeah, it makes sense. Why he decided to do it with like 20 something, less than 20 games left is beyond me. But hey, man, congrats right on a lengthy career. I think he's played well over 1,000 games.
I don't know if he ever got that cup, but I don't know if he hit 1,000. I feel like it was like in the 600 or 700. I don't think he was around for that long.
Let's see. 871. So yeah, didn't hit 1,000, but
we were like right in the middle. Like I was.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'll take that right in the middle. Awards and honors. Yeah, NHL. He made an All Star game in 2018, he won the Masterton in 2018. A bunch of college awards,
rightful, I would say.
Mm-hmm. That season. I don't know if it was. Yeah, it had to have been 2017-18. For when he was on New Jersey, it was one of his highest seasons point wise, besides his second year with the Rangers in 2010-11. He topped out at 35 points that year. In the 2017-18 season, he had 23 points, 69 games played. Nice, 13 goals, 10 assists.
Hey,
I think that's the year that Taylor Hall dragged them to the playoffs.
I think it was.
They played five games. Yeah, he played five games, 14 penalty minutes. Yeah, no, he was never on any of those Tampa Bay teams, if that's what you were alluding to before.
Yeah, I was trying to think if he was there, but I knew it was kind of past the time. I think he was on the team that maybe went to the final in 2015, but...
Yeah, he was. He played 17 games. Yeah, 14-15, he played 25 games. Yeah, that's when they lost to Chicago. And then that next year, I don't know who they lost to, but they only played 17 games. So I think they lost in the conference final. Was that the year that
2016?
It's 15-16. Yeah, they had to lose to the Pens.
It had to be Pittsburgh in the conference finals, yeah.
But yep, so happy congratulations to him. But back to the hockey talk. Do you want to start Islanders or Rangers?
We go Rangers first.
I mean, they lost yesterday. It was kind of a tough loss. Gave up a late one. Yesterday it was a 1-0 game for like 50 minutes. 3 goals in 49 seconds. Tie game after that. And then they gave up a late one.
It just said lost connection to server and then it reconnected. So I'm just gonna cross my fingers at this point.
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
So yeah, they that game had 3 goals in 49 seconds. And then Rangers let a late one.
That's kind of nuts.
Yeah, 3 goals in another minute. It was crazy. Like, you blinked and you missed everything.
How's that impossible?
I don't even know.
Wait, what the hell?
Yeah, they gave a late one with like 2 minutes left, and they had a couple shots with like less than 15 seconds left. Yeah, I mean, they played a good game against Carolina. I think Carolina was able to pin them in their zone a little bit too often, and the Carolina's penalty kill was just really interesting to watch, because they do this thing where they just have three guys pinch the blue line and one guy just kind of hangs back. So they kind of like, unless you're making like short passes to get in, it's really hard to get guys in.
The pressure, and the pressure makes it tough. So
especially because the Rangers play more of an east-west game. I mean, I know they try to be as north-south as they can, but they like passing the puck east-west. So Carolina was just eating them up. But yeah, overall, good game. You know, I'm not gonna sweat that game. You know, so far in March, I'm not gonna go over any game. They beat Philly, lost to Ottawa, lost to Boston, won on a 4-game break, beat Montreal, beat Buffalo, lost in overtime to Pittsburgh, beat the crap out of Washington, beat the crap out of Pittsburgh, really beat the crap out of Pittsburgh, really beat the crap out of Nashville, and then lost to Carolina.
That was quite the stretch. So that's what, 9-15. You're outscoring your opponents 22-5 over 4 games.
Yeah,
that's
dude. Those against Pittsburgh and Nashville, I mean, they had 13 goals to zero. Like, they did the two back-to-back shutouts.
Nashville's gotta just call it quits, man. They're just so mid. It's just you're never gonna win anything. Yeah,
and the Rangers are your inaugural Big City Green champions. City Green Heritage champions.
Honestly, I kind of love that. It was almost kind of electric. I also got, they did an amazing job. Like, I flipped
back, yeah, it was really good.
From the Big City Green game, the cartoon game, for those who don't know what we're talking about, to the actual game. And it was like 5 seconds delay, but like,
literally, yeah, it was not was that like, bad of a delay. It was really actually pretty sick.
And it was like, everything was perfect. I was like, okay, you know, like, Fox brought up to the blue line, passed it on the right side to Kako, who dumped it in, turned back, same thing to a T.
So yeah, pretty impressed there. So, yeah, only one overtime loss, a couple, two. So, whatever that is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 5-3-1 this stretch of games in March so far. And you know what the thing is? This team, after the deadline, you know, we're approaching 3 weeks post-deadline. And I think Tarasenko kind of gelled in pretty quickly, and then he cooled off a bit. But I think he kind of synced up with the lineup pretty well. Yeah. Mikkola was a tough start. He was taking a lot of penalties to begin with, but some of them were bad calls. But you know, he stepped up when Lindgren went down, and Ben Harper, I mean, I don't expect a lot from him, but I think he did a pretty decent job on that third pair.
Goals or anything. Just go out, do your job. Don't be a minus, and you're all set.
Pretty much, like, he was actually pretty good, especially on that stretch of games where they were winning, because Lindgren just made his return yesterday. So, you know, I'm not mad with Ben Harper being a seventh defenseman. He's still relatively young too. So, you know, very happy with the results.
I think they have Lindgren back though, kind of a heart and soul guy down the stretch to have, which is nice.
100%. And yeah, I think we saw it in the previous 4 games outside of yesterday. I think this team's really starting to gel. I think it took Kane a little bit of time to really adjust. I mean, and it makes sense when you're in a groove and you're playing for a team for 15 years. It's like everything becomes muscle memory, and it's like now you got to relearn everything. You're like a puppy again. Yeah. You got to relearn
you're
everything.
Also,
you're
living in a hotel. It's not easy.
You got to figure out where the practice arena is, the practice facility is. There's a lot to adjust to, and I think he's adjusting well. And the team was gelling. I think they were winning games by large margins during this little stretch. You know, I was a little concerned going into this, you know, stretch of games where you had Montreal, Buffalo, Pittsburgh 3 times, Washington, Nashville, Carolina twice, Florida. You know, what is that? 12, 10 games in like a 2-week span. Yeah. And you walked away with points in almost all of them. Last night was the first time in almost 2 weeks where they didn't walk away with a point in a game. So all is good in Rangerland right now. I think they're just kind of battling for seeding. You know, I was texting you and one of my other friends yesterday. I was like, you know, if the Rangers sweep Carolina, which is out of the, was just not, you know, in the cards right now. But if they had won yesterday and then won the and win it tomorrow, you know, those are four big points. They would have been at 96 points. They would have been 2 points behind the Devils, 2 points behind Carolina at that point. So, I think first is kind of out of the equation at this point. We'll see what happens after tomorrow's game. But, I mean, they're just kind of battling for seeding. Unless something crazy happens for the Devils, it looks like we're probably going to get a Devils-Rangers playoff battle. But, you know, we'll tap back in 2 weeks and let everyone know. Because I feel like 2 weeks from now, we're going to know who's going where. The Rangers will make the playoffs at that point. The Devils, everything's going to pretty much be set in motion. So, exciting times. You know, that stretch of games was pretty fun. It was fun to watch them, you know, beat down some teams, especially because they played Pittsburgh 3 times last week. So, you know, the overtime loss hurt. And then when you play them, those 2 other games back at the Garden, you know, you beat up, you outscore them 8-2 in 2 hours of hockey. You can't complain about that.
No, not at all. That's a major beatdown, which is also just fun to watch, you know.
So. That's the other thing too. It was just like this is fucking this rocks, dude. Like, let's go.
Scoring 7 goals, 6 goals. It's kind of crazy, actually. Not too bad. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, I think you guys are pretty locked into that third spot, I would say, but I guess you never know. I mean, there's still 10, 12 games left, but I think seems pretty confirmed. I'm trying to see where Carolina and the Devils stand right now. Yeah.
Carolina has 69 games. Yeah. So they have 2 games in hand. So it's kind of hard to get them. The Devils and the Rangers have played the same amount of games. So yeah, it's pretty much locked. I would have said they probably could have jumped the Devils if they had won these 2 games. And granted, they still can win tomorrow, but they won last night. And then win tomorrow. You're in a place where you're only 2 points behind the Devils. So you just have to hope they can lose some games, or you guys go on a crazy streak, and maybe you can beat them. But
probably third place.
I'm cool with third. You know, it is what it is. You don't get home ice advantage, which sucks. But and I think if they still did like the one through eight, Boston would be that 1. Carolina would be 2, I believe. Devils 3. Toronto 4. Rangers 5. So, yeah, it would have been a Toronto-Leafs battle, which, I mean,
a Toronto-Rangers battle, yeah.
Yeah, that's – sorry, Jesus Christ.
Toronto versus the Leafs, baby.
Yeah, let's go. Toronto got a second team. There was GM meetings, I think, last week, and Bettman said it came out that they're not going back to a 1-8 format. He likes the format right now, but I like
the format now. I don't know it's
fine, but – if you're trying to generate money, especially when the playoffs is when the NHL generates most money, if you have 2 of your biggest earners and your 2 most valuable franchises playing each other first round, that's pretty electric. I mean, that's getting a lot of eyeballs.
Yeah, then again, all the division stuff that encourages the rivalry games. And I feel like like if the Leafs or Rangers are playing, they're going to generate some money. I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. People get so mad about it.
It's all about more money at the end of the day.
The games would be like 8-7 every single night. Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, the Islanders in that scenario would be playing Carolina, so maybe things aren't too far off. Never know. Yeah, it's
the Islanders. They're on a little bit of streak right now.
Not bad, not bad. Not as great as I thought it was when I first looked at it, but just going back really quick, beat the Penguins 4-3. Once again, thank you guys for beating the Penguins 2 out of 3 this week. You'll have to see it finally. I mean, Isles were down
3-1 with no life going to the third period. Then our Lord and Savior, Hudson Fashing. The guy's an absolute dog. It's kind of unbelievable. I feel like Tyler Mott to you is now like Hudson Fashing to us.
Like, you got to love someone like that. You always have to have someone like that. And you just love them.
that bottom six kind of grinder, hardworking type that just can score some big goals. He scored to get started. Lee gets on with the empty net, and Brock Nelson wins it in overtime. I mean, that was probably the most electric game I've seen all year up until last night. But you know, you follow that up two nights later, 5-1 loss to the Caps. It happens. Then you fly out to LA a couple days later. You lose 5-2. They kind of had the game under control. I feel like this is going back so far now until there was a scrum out front and Matt Martin was going to the penalty box. It was supposed to be even 4-on-4. And then he threw the guy's helmet, which was like, all right. I mean, you're obviously going to get a penalty for that. And then Parise takes a trip on the penalty kill. So now all of a sudden it's a 5-on-3 for the Kings, of which they score two goals. And that's the game right there. So it's just like that one little mistake by Martin in a crucial kind of playoff race definitely hurt. I'm not going to fault him. You know, the emotions can get the best of you sometimes, especially when the guy was like attacking Romanov when he has a cage on. But, you know, lose that game. But then now you come back with three straight wins. You beat the Ducks, as I would hope. You beat the Sharks, as I would hope, both pretty convincingly. Sorokin got all three games in that trip, which is kind of wild. And then he played again tonight with last night, we're recording this on Tuesday, so this happened on Monday, a 7-2 win against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Suck on that, Tavares, you fucking rat.
Oh, man, they're still, all the Toronto fans are still mad about that on Twitter. It's unbelievable. It's like, there is a right to be mad from Islander fans, but they act like we're like going out there and like pointing a gun at him. But
yeah, people are bringing guns into the arena and shooting at him on the ice.
The worst thing they did besides boo them was somebody threw a rubber snake at him. That was the only thing that they did.
Which objectively is hilarious.
It's funny. It's so funny. And that was so simple. But yeah, big game there. Fashing scores again. Quarterback. I mean, the moral of the story, I guess, which is how the Islanders' rest of the season is going to go, is that Brock Nelson left the game hurt last night with what seemed like a concussion after a boarding call from Noel Achari. I don't think it was called a penalty, but regardless, he left the game. So now the goals last night were Parise until the last goal by Lee, which was basically 3 minutes left in a 62 game, so it doesn't really matter. It was Parise, Fashing, Clutterbuck, Holmstrom, and then Dobson with the empty net. That's a lot of depth scoring, and God forbid Nelson is out long-term, which would be a major problem, having Barzal and Nelson both out. But you got to get that depth scoring. So it was good to kind of get those guys going. I'm definitely concerned about Nelson. The hit didn't seem too bad, but, I mean, he didn't return, so that's always maybe it was a product of the game being 3-1 at that point, 4-2. I don't know. Maybe he comes back if it's closer, but definitely concerning, but a big win for the Islanders. You know, you'll have to see it. Clutterbuck gets two goals. First career three-point game for Cal Clutterbuck. Make that one make sense. Never had a three-point game before, which should tell you something. But, yeah, I mean, they look great. Alexander Romanov looks awesome now. I think they kind of – they were talking about it on the broadcast. They kind of found that he reminds me a lot of Lindgren, to be honest, except, like, a little bit less crazy with the shot blocks, which is fine. He's like, he's hard hitting, and I think they kind of found that sweet spot for him where he's not playing those major top 4 minutes. He's kind of playing with Mayfield on the third pairing and kind of a defensive role. He looks very confident. All the computer nerds told me that he sucked and that all the Islander fans told me that they should trade him. And we're not told me, but we're saying out on the lovely Twitterverse that they should trade Romanov. He sucks. You know what? The guy's a 23-year-old defenseman. I don't understand that at all. The guy's younger than me and playing in the NHL. Younger than both of us and playing in the NHL. So yeah, give him time to season, you know? Yeah, I said we should consider trading Noah Dobson, but that wasn't a slight on Noah Dobson's ability. I think it's just you got to be patient sometimes, and Romanov is a perfect example of that. So he's heating up. Sorokin looks good. And yeah, the Islanders are all of a sudden pretty secure in their playoff spot. Don't look now, but they got 82 points in 72 games. They're officially controlling their own destiny against both Pittsburgh and Florida, which is kind of now the three-team race, right? I'd say Washington dropped out. Ottawa tanked.
Yeah, Ottawa's pretty much done. I'd say the Caps. They have no games in hand, so they're pretty much done. Buffalo, Pittsburgh is like the only team you got to worry about. Buffalo's kind of floundering at this
Florida,
point.
Yeah, it's going to be two of three of Islanders, Florida, and Pittsburgh. I mean, Islanders got 4 points up on Pittsburgh, but two games in hand. Then again, we have four games up on regulation overtime wins. So that's a tiebreaker. So theoretically, as long as you're going 500 with both Florida and Pittsburgh and matching one of their tallies for the rest of the year, whether it's 5-5, 6-4, you're in the playoffs, which is kind of crazy considering how bleak things looked in January.
Yeah, close to canceling the season.
We were hovering.
We were
a grass blade away from canceling the season. It was so, it was so close. But we're back. We're so back. Let's go.
Yeah.
I really hope they don't blow this. You know, it's very well possible they could. Just as a quick look ahead to their schedule. I mean, there's a lot of winnable games coming up, but it's either like the teams suck or they're pretty damn good. But they play better against playoff teams. You got Columbus, Buffalo, two winnable games there. Devils, Caps, Lightning, Hurricanes, Lightning. That's a really tough five-game stretch. But then you end with the Caps and Canadiens, so I don't know.
Yeah, you got Philly in there too. So I mean, like, yeah, there's some winnable.
Oh,
like you
said, there's some, yeah, you're right. I did miss.
There's some winnable games in there, but yeah, you do have some tough games towards that end of that last stretch of games.
The last two games are huge. Yeah, Philly, Caps, Canadiens. You just gotta. I think if you win these next two and those last three, you're in pretty good shape to take maybe one. Even if you take one of the five in the middle, which is ludicrous, by the way, to only expect one out of five from Caps, Lightning, Hurricanes, Lightning. Sorry, one of four. And the Devils. Sorry. So five, yeah. So one of five. I mean, that's so doable. That's six wins if you can beat the teams that you need to beat.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm pretty optimistic. And I think the only thing that's worrying me now are injuries. Pagello's back. He looks great. Got to see on Nelson. And, of course, Barzal has not started skating yet, which is a major problem. It's a major problem. So
That'll hurt. So yeah, Horvath, it kind of leads me to
Horvath looks good. Sorry, I'll just finish up with this last point. That the only other thing I had was that Horvath looks good. He's got one goal in his last nine games, which seems bad. Of course, certain writers for The Athletic seem to disagree with some sentiments, but he's doing literally everything right. He's affecting the game. He's like 65% on faceoffs. He's playing great defensively. The guy should probably have, I mean, his shooting percentage has to be in the mud right now. He's shooting like 2% after he was shooting like 25 all year. He's getting so many chances. He'll break through. Not worried about him at all. So another version of people overreacting as per usual. So the tweets are saved. They're ready to go. Just watch out. I'm a team. I don't want to play the Islanders in the playoffs, but I think that transitions to your next point that you were going to go for.
Yeah, I guess it's more of a question for you. Who do you want in the playoffs? You know, you're in that wild card one spot, but you know, it things could happen and you end up being wild card two. So I guess right now, do you want to play Carolina or do you want to play Boston?
Is it crazy to say I want to play Boston?
I think most people looking at this Boston team right now would say yes. That's very
crazy.
But
I feel like the Islanders, Carolina. We texted about this, so we kind of know each other's answers. But to those listening, I feel like Carolina and the Devils are like, they're so fast. They grind you down in a seven game series, especially Carolina with all that experience, minus Svechnikov now. But they just grind you down so hard. I mean, their centers, you have to go against, you know, against Aho, then you have to go against Stahl, and then you have to go against what's his name? Kotkaniemi, which really isn't a walk in the park either. He's not too terrible. Not great, but not terrible. I'm probably missing a center in there too. I don't know who I'm missing, but Carolina definitely scares me. I mean, they're so quick. I mean, they swept the Islanders 5 years ago now, which is kind of a moot point, but I don't know. I feel like the Islanders match up with Boston well. Nobody gave us any shot against them last year. Very different team now. They're really going for it. They have a much better head coach, I think, but I feel like if there's any team in the East that can be kind of a David against the Boston Goliath, I think I'm trying to be unbiased. I think it's the Islanders based on how we play in the playoffs.
I mean, I would, you know, if the Islanders are the ones that take Boston out that first round, I'm rooting for it. You know, I've been saying it for weeks at this point. I think Boston's a first or second round exit. I think they're one of those teams where it's like they were way too good in the regular season and like they're going to just crumble somehow in the postseason.
The playoffs are crazy, man. That's what I'm saying. It's like
You get the right, even if I'm Boston, if Florida can just get average goaltending, I might be a little concerned if I'm Boston.
If, yeah, Florida's cooking right now, too. I mean, Kachuk looks really good out there.
Well, yeah, I saw on Spin Jiglets, which they're right that Kachuk probably should be a hard candidate at this point.
Yeah. They compared him to like the
Taylor Hall,
Taylor Hall a couple years ago.
Yeah, they were spot on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very, very apt comparison. Even if Boston gets out of that first round, they still have a tough matchup that second round. I mean, the Leafs and the Lightning. I mean, the Lightning, if I'm Boston and I'm getting out of the second, if I'm getting out of the first round, I would much rather play the Lightning in the second round. Like, granted, like, they're still the Lightning, but it's like they've played a lot of hockey these last couple of years. Like, if that's going to be the year to take them down and they're not going to make the conference finals, it's like, this is the year to do it. Toronto.
That's true.
If Toronto gets out of the first round, like that one, that's huge. Like, that's a huge weight. It's kind of like when the Caps won a couple years ago. It's like they finally got out of the second round. Yeah. It was kind of like that huge weight off their shoulder. Like,
yeah, it's a good comparison.
It doesn't even matter. We finally got past like this one roadblock we couldn't get past. Like, let's just fucking try to win it all. For them, it's like, who cares? We got out of the first round. It's like, even if we lose in the second round, it's like, they're not going to want to. They're going to be like, we have this huge, the whole city just had this sigh of relief. Like, that is their Stanley Cup. If they get, it's sad to say that for a once great franchise, their Stanley Cup is just getting out of the first round.
That you really, honestly, that's a very good point. I think of about that whole Caps comparison. It makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I think if they see Boston though, I think they get a little scared. Based on how the last...
There's definitely still going to be nervous. I don't know. That's like whatever that second series is in the Atlantic Division, whether it's Boston, Tampa, Boston Isles, Boston, Toronto, it's going to be a great series.
Yeah.
It can't be Boston Isles.
It can't be Boston Isles. But say the Islanders do fall in a second wild card, which I think is honestly kind of veering out of the question at this point. I think the Islanders are going to the Metro, but... Could you imagine though they get the second wild card? You either in the second round you get Isles Toronto with JT, Isles Tampa, Boston Toronto, or Boston Tampa. All those are fantastic matchups.
Great, great matchups. Maybe Gary is onto something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want any part of the Hurricanes at this point, but I think they get the Hurricanes. I would think I'd rather play the Devils, to be honest, out of the Hurricanes, but I'd love to play the Rangers. I think you and I talked about it, and it's no slight to the Rangers, but I think the Islanders just match up great with them based on how both teams are built. But obviously, I think that series could probably go seven and go either way, or it could even go six. Yeah. The Rangers could absolutely win that series. I'm not feeling like, oh, the Islanders match up so
that,
well.
I think that them. Series ultimately comes down to just like who's going to out goaltender the other. Like, it's pretty true. That's like it would be the battle of the Russians the entire series. It's like who's going to let in less goals.
It's also such like a funny version of like what's the better way to build your team? Are you going skill, small skill like Kane, Tarasenko, or just going like meat and potatoes like Palmieri, Pageau? I don't know. I think it'd be a cool storyline. Maybe we'll get in the second round. We haven't had an Islanders Rangers series in what? It's been decades, so, which is kind of nuts.
We will see.
For me, 2015. One game away.
For me, it's going to be the Devils right now. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think I've been going, like, back and forth on this. I know I said I think I would rather play Carolina first than the Devils.
You're very confident against Carolina.
I am. Because last night was the first time they beat them since last year. So, kudos to Carolina. You finally got that win. I think last night seeing them without Svech was like that realization for me that like they are a pretty good team even without him. Yeah. But like it was a super close game. I mean, the Rangers got that goal early and then it went scoreless it was a 1-0 game for 50 minutes essentially. So I think those are the type of games we're going to see in a series with Carolina and the Rangers. So and another thing that I saw too on Twitter, someone just pointed it out. And I kind of agree with it. The Rangers match up really well against like really high skill cap teams. For some reason, they just play really good teams pretty well. Not all the time, but I would say like 8 out of 10 times they play really good teams pretty well. But then they play really poor teams like
horribly. Like, they look terrible when they should be just like easily winning these games with like the you know, like the Flyers of the world or whatever. It's like they're it's, even though that should be like a must win game, you're like, I don't, they might lose this game. Like, what the hell is going on? But yeah, I think at this point, it, ultimately being that they're gonna probably play the Devils, I don't mind playing the Devils. I think it'll be a fun series to watch.
I mean, that's a fantastic series to watch.
I'd rather have the home ice advantage, but I'm not gonna complain about it.
It's not looking like it. So.
It's not. That's gonna, I think, play a factor.
I mean, probably at this point, I don't know, unless you get, I think, a wild card. I mean, you're not getting home ice until. Quite frankly, I mean, let me see the whole, what's the whole league look like? I mean, the Rangers, okay, so they could get home ice in the final if they get there, unless it's Vegas. It's basically just Vegas is the only time that if you got to the final, you wouldn't have home ice, but I don't think you're seeing home ice in the final if you get there.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Unless the Islanders somehow win, but
I think
both teams make the conference final somehow.
I think that like the thing with the Devils is like right now they've been really good for certain stretches. They've been not great during certain stretches. And like right now it's weird. They're winning games, but then they're losing games. Hughes, I think, is hurt. A lot of people are online are saying he looks like he's hurt. They said he definitely does not look 100% healthy. And I've said it before too. I do think that the playoff experience the Rangers have will be a big factor in that series. So we'll see. I mean, I'd rather, I guess, play the Devils right now, but I also don't have a choice in the matter. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm looking at their team stats right now. They score a lot of goals. They don't give up a lot of goals, but they take a lot of penalties. So riddle me that. I mean, I don't know. It seems like they're just really hot this year. And I feel like I don't know what to expect in the playoffs with them, right? Like,
we have no basis to go off of, which is kind of crazy.
No, yeah, you're seeing a lot of fresh legs. But I think one thing that plays in, and again, it's just that experience. I think there's going to be a lot of jitters. You know, this is the first playoffs for a lot of those guys. So I think we're going to see a lot of Devils guys overthinking things, you know, trying to thread the needle a little too much, and you can't do that in the playoffs. You got to just play you have to play a hard game, but you can't overcomplicate things. Like, you have to really play a simple game.
It's in the playoffs, really true.
Those mistakes, those like high skill cap mistakes that you're gonna make during the regular season where it doesn't matter, they will come back to bite you.
That's why it's so stupid that the Islanders were able to make those conference finals runs, because it was such an ugly team the way they played. But like the playoffs, I think we're going to regret saying this when the Devils win a series. I guess. But like, I don't think they're going to have the room to do necessarily what they're doing in the regular season. It's so much tighter checking. Like, it's crazy. It's not as skilled. It's so tight checking. I mean, it's a totally different season, which I think a lot of people kind of forget. I mean, it's,
what they're doing now is totally different than what they're going to be doing in 3 weeks.
Also, just to go back to the point you made about them taking a lot of penalties, I do think that's something that benefits them a little bit, because they don't call as much in the playoffs. So it's like you get away with a little bit
that's
more.
Facts.
So
like, that's facts.
I don't know. Yeah, it's gonna be, I think, a really good series.
You don't know until you see. Yeah.
Can't wait for playoffs.
Guns to my head, I'm thinking it's just Shesterkin over Banachek. That's what it comes down to, I think.
He's looking really good, really good right now. I think, you know, for a lot of I think he's got like almost 30 wins on the year. So, he's looking really dialed in. I'm happy that, you know, he got his not so good stretch of games out of his system, and he looks like he's starting to dial it in. And I think last season, yeah, he had this phenomenal season, and obviously had stretches where he didn't look great. But I think we're gonna see the Shesty of last year, where he's gonna be dialed in, and this Rangers team goes as far as he wants to take them. If he wants to win a cup, then he'll take him to the cup final.
Yeah,
yeah, he's got the experience. I don't know. That is one thing I'm nervous about Sorokin with, though. I mean, you go back; he was in the bubble in 2020. I don't think he played. He was just getting acclimated.
2021, he won them that Pittsburgh series in round one, and then he got absolutely shelled by Boston in game one of the next round, and Varlamov took over from there. So, like, you look at it, Sorokin doesn't really have that much playoff experience, which scares me a little bit. So, I don't know what to make of that, but, I mean, you see the saves, like, the save he made last night against Gustafson, which was nuts. That paddle save. I mean, he's done it before. He's older. He's 2 years older now.
Twice this season, right?
Twice this season. One last season against Panarin. I mean, the guy's a dog. But I don't know. 2 years older. He's more acclimated to the scene now. I don't know. Tough to say. I'm worried that he goes into Boston and gets scared again. But we'll see.
Yeah. The other big piece of news that came out, and the NHL, I mean, like, they had to have known that this news was not going to be taken well because they released this at 6:50 in the morning.
It was much worse than I didn't realize that people felt this strongly about it.
Oh yeah, people have vitriol feelings about this. Yeah. The Fanatics and the NHL are jersey partners starting in 2024, 2025, and it's a 10-year deal. When I first saw the news, I was like, this is not good. I've seen the Fanatic jerseys in person. I've seen the horror stories online. The fans do have like a leg to stand on when it comes to like
definitely not
getting correct merch. I mean, like there's a very excuse me, there's a very famous picture online. It was trending. It was never trending, but it was making the rounds around Rangers Twitter. I don't know if you saw it, but it was a New York Islanders t-shirt.
It
was the Rangers logo. It's like, how did that get out of quality control?
Yeah, that was pretty bad. But that's my thing, right? Was Fanatics ever the jersey partner before? Like, I don't know.
So they make like replica jerseys make some authentic jerseys. But then I did see online, because I was reading like the press conference, and apparently they brought in someone who has helped make the jerseys for Reebok and Adidas. He's getting brought on to the Fanatics team. They're making them in the same facility that all these Adidas jerseys are being made in. Like, it seems like they're doing their due diligence. And then he made a good point too. He's like, we make all of the jerseys for the MLB. He's like, we just slap the Nike logo on, but like those jerseys, those are Fanatic. They're made by like the Fanatics Corporation. I'm like, okay. Like that makes me feel a little better. But then I also saw something last night too, where like Nike didn't even put in a bid. Like, cause I thought Nike was a surefire. It's like,
I think it's just all four like major
sports. Yeah. They just said, they don't think there's going to be much profit margin on making the jerseys, selling them. They're like, and that's a slight on Gary for sure. Because it's like, you know, the biggest sporting equipment and brand in the world. I mean, Nike is probably what the top five most like recognized brands in the world. They're concerned that you're not going to be able to sell it. They're not going to make enough money, but producing jerseys. It's like, you've had all this time to market the league. And again, it's not like it's not the biggest thing in the world. Like who cares that Nike's not on, but you could have went back to Reebok. You could have went CCM. Like there was other choices.
They may not have won. I mean, it's all an agreement.
Yeah. It's also who wants them. But
it's like, if I feel like it's easier to put, they do make a lot of stupid mistakes, but that's also when they're a third party vendor, you know. They're not, I feel like there's an up level of quality control when the jerseys are being made for the NHL where 100%. Some of that stupid stuff won't fly. It's not like, sorry, like my apologies to Peter in San Jose who got a shirt that had the logo with the shark stick intact versus not intact. My apologies, hypothetically, but like that's not going to happen when it's going to the NHL, or I would think it wouldn't happen. So I do think people are right to have gripes about it, but I think it is a little overreactionary that they're like, we're not going to see Malkin trot out with his name being like Malkin. Like, it's not going to happen.
Or Malking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, even Adidas had issues with jerseys. People who have shopped with the official licensed Adidas NHL, like Rangers merch in the garden, in the Rangers shop at the garden. It's like, there's been issues with jerseys where, and even Adidas, like they, they kind of skimped on some of the stitching stuff in like the later years of them making the jerseys. Cause like you could sometimes the earlier versions, you could see like the stitching on the inside. It was like double stitch. So it was nice. And then they kind of just went with the single stitch on the outside. It was just plated on the inside. So it's like there, Adidas is no saint in this either.
People just love
I do think it was a little overreactionary, like you said. I being one of those people, just cause like, I was just like, ugh, like, Fanatics of all people, it's like
it's not the best option.
Make me like go like, ooh, the Fanatics are making the jersey sweet. Like it's based off of just what I've seen. And then I thought, and it's disappointing. And the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? Like, it sucked when I learned it, but I'm not going to judge them or talk down on them anymore. I want to see what the product looks like, and we're going to see
that's a big thing.
After next season, we'll probably during the season next year start seeing mock-ups of jerseys. And hey, if the Fanatics go, we're doing like the NBA, we're going to do city series jerseys for every team every year. They have like fresh ideas that Adidas just didn't have. Adidas, they thought of the retro reverses, which were awesome, but they only did it twice. Like if Fanatics is going to have a lot of other ideas, and the jersey quality is fine, then I'm not going to have any issues. I think we're going to see a lot of people go back on what they originally said about this.
There were some
funny tweets. 100%. It was definitely like a letdown, but it's not the biggest deal in the world. It's just, you know, if you don't want to buy a jersey, don't buy a jersey. I get it. It's like, I'm not going to be able to buy a jersey for 10 years. It's like, bro, you'll be able to buy someone will be able to get their hands on an Adidas jersey if you want. Like, there are probably hundreds of thousands of just blank Adidas, you know, Addy Zero hockey jerseys that are going
to
be
go to the same store and get a name pressed on them.
Not difficult.
Exactly. So,
people are jersey nuts, though. People love the jersey stuff. So, fair enough. To each their own.
Exactly. That's pretty much it. Pretty tame week.
Did you do a player this week?
I did not. I had a migraine today.
Do you want me to do mine just for the
sure.
X? All right. This guy's a Stanley Cup champion. He's part of a hockey family, quote unquote. So that means he's got some sort of blood relation in the NHL. He's top five pick. He's captain. He's got 1,000 games played.
And he is the youngest player in NHL history to score on a penalty shot at 18 years and 41 days. I can repeat if you need.
Is it Jordan Staal?
Oh, nice. That was a good one. Hey, I thought that might be a little bit more difficult, but not bad.
The thing that was, I was like, did he win a cup when he was in Pittsburgh?
He did. He did. That was right before he got traded. Yeah, he won that 09 one right before he got traded.
I thought that's kind of sick, though, that he's the youngest. You look at his Wikipedia, he's like the youngest player to do like many random shorthanded things. So good for him. I only thought of him because the guy's an absolute menace to play against, and I want nothing to do with him, if I'm the honest.
He is. He was all over the ice yesterday.
He does not get enough credit for being one of the best defensive forwards in the league. He's a dog. Anytime I see him against the Islanders, he is just putting Matt Barzal on like Alcatraz Island. It's absolutely absurd.
And he's up there, too. He's not, like, young.
Yeah, I'd say he's 34, 35.
34 years old. Is he the youngest of the – no, I don't think he's the youngest.
I think it's Eric.
I think it's Mark. Oldest. I think Mark might be the oldest – or the youngest.
Jared. Well, if you count Jared. Jared's the youngest, but, yeah, good for Jordan Staal. Good career. All right, we can wrap it up.
What a family. What a hockey family.
Facts.
Oh yeah, Mark is older than Jordan, so minus one for me. Thought I can go an episode with that one.
Almost made it.
Almost. That pretty much wraps it up here. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Anchor app if you want. Give us a 5-star rating and leave us a nice review. Follow us on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. Playoffs are right around the corner. We're going to be getting all these tweets off. I'm bringing back the third period live streams. So make sure you're tuning into those because those will be entertaining. And yeah, that pretty much is it. Kevin, you got anything else?
No, sir. Good episode.
Thank you again for listening. Great episode. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.